time. Oh, I said my God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. Go ahead and give him a good hand clap of praise tonight if you believe it. Amen. I know this, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? You know what? It's cold outside. It really is cold outside. But you know what? We're going to have a good time in here tonight. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord? Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. Play that one more time, guys. That's the truth tonight. Amen. My worst day that I ever had in my life since I have been serving the Lord is greater than the best day I ever had living out in the world. Can you say that? Do you believe that? It ain't nothing but the truth. Somebody say it's the truth. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Praise the Lord. You can be seated for just a few minutes tonight. Let me make a couple of announcements real quick. Christmas cards from Brother Donnie, Sister Carol, the family, the Reagan family, they're available for you over in the library. Please go by and pick those up. They have them for you on the desk over in the library. Please go by and get your Christmas card. Also, the new 2017 church directory is available. If you want to go by and get one of those, one per family, I reckon that's what they're saying right now. If we have extra, you can have what you need. But go by and pick you one of those up, and you'll be set till New Year's. You'll be set for a good while. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at some prayer requests tonight. Sister Martha Ann Johnson wants us to remember Brother Kenneth Whitehead in prayer. He's in the intensive care unit after the balloon that was inserted into his heart artery to open a blockage nicked an artery. He had to be resuscitated 3 or 4 different times. The artery was plugged, but he is in critical condition tonight. So they're asking that we would remember that, Brother Kenneth Whitehead. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Jack, Sister Ruth Ann Johnson family says, please remember our extended family in Charlotte, North Carolina. Our cousin Bob Banner lost his 30-year-old granddaughter yesterday in a tragic heavy machinery accident. She was crushed by a co-worker with a tractor. The family is requesting our prayers. She leaves behind 2 young children. So let's pray for that need tonight, that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them during this difficult time in their life. I want to continue to remember Brother Don Cooper in prayer. He's still very sick, still in the hospital, and he just really, really needs our prayers tonight. Brother Don, just a precious brother, and his sickness is just, he's just very, very critical. So we want to pray for him tonight that the Lord would be mindful of him. Sister Donna Pistole suffer dizziness when she stands up. Let's pray for her tonight as we pray. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please pray for Brother Eugene. He has had a rough day today, so let's remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Byron Palmer says, please remember, Brother, this is just another prayer request in regard to Brother Kenneth Whitehead. He's in Macon, Georgia, in very serious condition, so let's remember him. Michael Brown had to have his appendix removed today. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request. Brother Barry English fell again and is very bruised and sore, asked for prayer, so let's remember that need tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests. You have a need tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. You believe we're serving a prayer answering God? Yes, amen. We certainly are. Could we stand tonight? Let's give him just a little bit of thanks before we pray tonight. Let's sing that little chorus. We want to say thanks. He has continually give us so many answered prayers in this congregation. And we don't care to ask him again tonight because we know he's more than able. Is that right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. We want to say thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks. Oh, all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul is bound. Say praise the Lord. Brother Palmer, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Byron, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer. On behalf of these requests, let's just commit these things unto the Lord. We know he's more than able, don't we? Amen. God bless you. We love Brother Byron, don't we? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord, buddy. God bless you.
Let's just go to our Lord and together pray for these requests. Heavenly Father, Lord, if we knew every language in the earth today, it wouldn't be enough words that we could come together with to say thanks for what you've done for us. Lord Jesus, we come tonight, Lord, just forgive us of any sin or any fault and failure in our life, God. Lord, we just want to welcome you here, Lord. With open arms, we welcome you, precious Lord. We can't make it without you through any day of our life, Lord. We got to have you. Lord Jesus, we bring these petitions before you. Lord, precious friend, Brother Kenneth Whitehead, Lord, in a mighty serious condition there in the hospital in Georgia, God, I'd pray you just move in his behalf. Lord, and all these other requests, so many needs, the ones that lost a loved one, God, just comfort their hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just come now bringing these petitions, believing that you will hear and answer each one according to your precious will. Oh, God, and if we come, Lord, we've come to feast upon the riches of the precious word. Not that we are anything in ourselves, Lord, but we come to feast upon that precious word of God, Lord. Anoint our pastors. He comes forth and ministers to us, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, and just open our hearts and open our minds, Lord. May we just be set on the things of above. Lord, we just commit this service to you now. Commit ourselves to you. In the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Somebody said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I want presents. I want the presence of the Lord. More in my life than I've ever seen him. How about you today? Is that your desire? More presence from our Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a troubled world. But I'm so glad for one thing. In all of this trouble, there's a peace. There's a presence among us that we're not worried about it. If we live or if we die, we're winners either way. Somebody say praise the Lord. Ushers, come receive the offering tonight. If you're a visitor, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing Psalms 3. He's the lifter up of our head. Aren't you glad you're serving a risen Savior? Aren't you glad he encourages you when you get down? Somebody say glory.
Glory. Oh, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter.
Little chorus of Sister Lindsay, if you get ready to sing for us tonight, if you come on to the platform, let's sing this little song tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High.
The name of the Lord.
The name of the Lord is
a strong tower.
Oh,
the righteous run into, they are saved.
Sister Lindsay, a nice hand tonight as she sings. You can be seated.
Out of the ashes, let us see an army back the wayward son, and by your Spirit breathe upon him. Show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. As we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive, yeah. So breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. So breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe.
Service. Brother Donnie, you want to come bring us the word of the Lord tonight? I know you're looking forward to that. Good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. One request I want you to think about while we in the service tonight. Our grandson, 18-year-old, 17-year-old Bryson, was wrestling for his school today and received a pretty serious knee injury. Don't know the extent of that right now, but if you just keep him in your prayers, that the Lord would not only touch his body, but touch his heart. Amen. God's able, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus together as Brother Donnie gets ready to come tonight. Victory is mine. I'm not settling with letting the devil take my victory from me. Are you going to settle for that? Are you going to just hunker down and let the devil just wear you out? Victory is mine. I may not act like it all the time. I may not look like it all the time. But victory is ours. We are victors tonight. Glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory is mine. My choice.
Praise the Lord. Well, there's one thing we know for sure. If we have victory, we're going to have to fight for it. The good thing about it is we know how to fight. Let's learn a little bit more about it tonight. What do you say? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Let's take another tour down this gallery. And we'll find more mysteries of the rhema of God as we look in this gallery. Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How many believes we're in that time? And having done all to stand, then the next verse, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How many's ever been hit with them? Oh, yes. Oh, they hurt. Oh, goodness, goodness. You know what? One thing that hurts about the fiery dart of the wicked, I can't stand it. It's knowing I could have stopped it. That hurts way worse to me than the pain of the dart itself. Knowing that devil made a fool out of me. Now, I know I'm the only one here in the building tonight that's ever been that way, but ye shall be able to quench how many?
All.
When one gets through, you and I let down the shield. Okay, let's all come up the altar and we'll pray through and then we'll dismiss. Now listen to this. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, not logos. The sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. Notice where who it belongs to. It don't belong to your memory. The sword is not the sword of your memory. It's not the sword of your intellect. It's the sword of the Spirit. He's the only one that knows which portion of word to use when you need it at the right time. Now what's amazing about it is to me that he knows which one to use, but he won't defeat the devil without you. He'll give you the right word, but he wants to speak it through your mouth. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Let's bow our heads together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how blessed we are to be able to even hear these things read tonight. But we believe that you desire to illuminate these things for us. I pray, Lord Jesus, the great Holy Ghost himself would come here tonight, you in spirit form. You'd be able to anoint the word. Lord Jesus, we know that when you spoke your word in the beginning, it's so powerful and so great. Yet we know that you divided the great omnipotent power from the Logos here written in the Bible so that Satan would not have access to it to manipulate and control. So we're simply asking for the inspirations to come together tonight. Lord, no wonder your prophet said that when a man is inspired, really under inspiration, reads the inspired word, then something is going to happen because you got two inspirations together. So we pray tonight you would inspire us with your presence. Speak to us, Father, your word, that we may be able to leave this place tonight better soldiers, better equipped, not only to fight So many people talking about fighting this and fighting that, fighting something else. We don't want to just fight. We want to win.
Amen.
Help us, I pray tonight, Father. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. You know, the Word is so wonderful and so powerful. We love it, don't we? As children of God, we absolutely love the Word. I love reading the Bible. I love whenever I'm studying, and I've got several Bible dictionaries on my computer and in the message table software. Those of you that use that on the computer, you can go over there to a word in the Hebrew or in the Greek, and you can click on that word, and when you do, it'll give you the Greek number or the Strong's number of that word, and it'll tell you how many different places it's used and all of that. Gives the meaning of it, and just makes the word that you're looking at was so much more full of an understanding. I love studying. I love filling my spirit. Whenever I come in back there, in case you wonder what I do, I get back there maybe 6:30 or so, 30 minutes or something like that before church, and I sit there and read over and over and over and over the quotes and the scriptures and the meanings of the words. I want my spirit to be filled with the Word. And then the Spirit of God can be able to anoint what's already there in my spirit, and then look out, devil, when he does. So I know that studying the Word and memorizing the Word, and I don't know too many poems, I don't know too much things as far as that sort of thing. I've never really studied that much poetry. I've never studied that much prose. I've spent most of my life studying Scripture and studying Message. So I fill my spirit with it. But yet, when it really comes right down to it, in order to fight and be able to defeat the devil, it takes the Spirit of God to be able to quicken the Word, to make it a live Word. Now, can we take Logos? Should we take Logos and fight Satan with it? We absolutely should. And we know that day by day we do that. Does it become the gladius or the sword? It is not. It is only the sword that the Spirit of God Himself can take. When He takes that word, which is Logos, and He applies it for your present need, whatever it is. And you know, in our minds, it may not even make sense what the Spirit of God would anoint us to use, because we will run it through our intellect and think, well, I'm going through this certain thing, so I need this certain scripture. But the Holy Ghost may not go that way at all. Now, I want you to notice here that the word sword here is the word gladius. It's a 20 to 24 4-inch long sword. Let me read a little history to you. It was a weapon that was used when the enemy was real close. Now, what they would use was a pike, called a pike, or a very long thing, was a metal thing on the end of it, and it would be sometimes 8 feet long, 10 feet long, and it was very, very long. But that was for fighting when the enemy was at a distance. But whenever the enemy got up real close, it was time to lay the pike down. It was time to lay that down. Then what do? Then you drag out your sword. Now, you don't need that thing to be about 8 foot long when you're in a hand-to-hand combat with your enemy. So 20 to 24 inch long, depending on if you was a Roman or a Greek or whatever more you were. But this was the average length of sword during the time whenever Paul wrote this. So now, to the saints of God at that time, whenever they would have heard this in the scripture, in their mind, they would have automatically went back to what they saw prevalent was the Romans. So they would have seen a Roman soldier standing there as Paul began to identify the armament that was on the children of God. So as he would have mentioned about a helmet and a shield and the greaves, as Paul did not say, but they knew in their mind that the greaves was part of the armament, and the helmet and the shield that was the burnished brass or the polished brass. And they would have seen the Roman soldier with his sword in the sheath or the scabbard. It would have not have been 3 foot long or 4 foot long, because they had learned that the one that was shorter was actually better to fight. You know, it's the same with us sometimes. We think we need 47 pages of quotes to back the devil up. That's what your mind thinks. It might take you 47 pages and the devil not move 1 inch, but the sword of the Spirit can take one word of God, and do more against the devil than you can do with the whole book. Why? Why? Because it is actually the sword of the Spirit instead of the sword of our intellect. I'm afraid, friends, many times that we try to fight the devil with our mind. Now, why? Because it is our mind that we use many times to discuss doctrine. It is our intellect. It is our reasoning. It is that way in us that we go, well, this brother disagrees with me. I'm going to study and study and study. I'm going to straighten that brother out. I'm going to prove him wrong. And we try to fight the devil the exact same way. And this is one reason why we don't win any more than we do, because we're trying to fight the devil ourselves instead of letting it be the sword of the Spirit. So we want to impress the devil. He ain't impressed by you. He never has been, and he never will be. I don't care if you're a preacher or whatever you are. He can outquote you, out sing you, out shout you. Praise the Lord. But there's one thing about it. Now, I'm not sure that you understand what a rhema word from God actually is out of the mouth of a believer. Now, when the believer takes the word and he quotes the word, it's written, in my name they'll cast out devils. Well, say you're sick. It's written, by his stripes I'm healed. He bore all of our infirmities and he carried our sicknesses, and we quote that and quote and quote. Now, that's us quoting the Logos. But when the Spirit of God will take the word and begin to quote that, it is no longer you. It is actually the voice of the Almighty God reiterating his word by inspiration, and the devil ain't afraid of your voice. Come on now. And many times he's not even afraid of you quoting the Logos. But when a rhema word passes through your mouth, it is no longer you. It is the voice of God. Praise God. That ain't skim milk, friends. When the Holy Ghost can take the sword of the Spirit and speak his words through you, it is no longer you doing the fighting. It is actually God himself. My, who wouldn't want that, Brother Terry? Watch this. Now, whenever the Lord Jesus, of course, on the earth, and he must subject himself, we know, not only to pain and sickness and frustration and all the things that we would go through, but he must fight as the future sons and daughters of God coming on the earth will fight. Now, if he fights against the enemy solely as deity and then tells you and I to fight against the enemy, there's no way you and I could do it. So he must subject himself in the same role and in the same power under the submission to the word, and he will fight the devil as a son of God with the Holy Ghost using the word. Right. Now, the tempter can reason, and the tempter can apply the word, and sometimes what he says makes a lot of sense. And he will try to use our very weapon that God has given to us and disarm us by the very thing. Now, watch in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, if you would. When the tempter came unto him, and he said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, watch what he's going to do. If thou be the Son of God. Now, remember, this is after that Jesus has heard the voice come out of heaven. This is after John baptized him in the River Jordan, and the voice come out. Now you imagine the devil, in order for Jesus to really be able to feel the way we feel, that Satan would have come against him. Let me relate to him this way. If the voice that you imagine you heard was the voice of God, and this thing that you thought that you heard a voice speaking to you, now really it wasn't, it was just in your mind, and there are nobody else heard it. I mean, after all, you could ask the congregation, how many of you heard that voice? How many of you saw this? Many of them would say they never heard it. And no doubt many of them never saw the dove. And this really is just in your mind. It's all made up. But we'll say if you are the Son of God, then surely God would not want you to starve to death. Now here you have, you've been 40 days up here in the mountain, and you've been praying and you've been fasting without food or water. And truly, if you are the Son of God and you've come to do some great work on the earth, you'll not be able to do that work if you are dead. You'll not, but doesn't it just make sense that you do not have bread? Here, let me help you out. You don't have to even start with nothing. I'll make it easier for you. So what I will do is give you a stone here, and you take this stone and simply transform it from one thing to another. It's not like that you're starting with nothing. So just move upon this and change the atoms and the molecular structure of this stone, which are very, very similar to a common substance of trees or bread or any other thing that has mass. Just take it and change it over from that. Now, all you have to do is do this, because surely it makes sense. God knows you have to provide for your family. God knows you can't pay your tithes. God knows you can't go to church. My, it's just too much to expect people to go to church in this age. It's too much. If they do go to church, to ask them to actually get into church once they're there. I mean, you really expect to get in? I sure do. Not only do I, but God expects you to get in. So what would he do? He would make a very plausible approach to the Lord Jesus, and it would make sense. After all, are you really sure you heard this voice? Now you say, Brother Donnie, really would he have come to that place? In order to help you and I, he would have had to submit himself to trials on this meaner type of basis. Is it beneath him? It certainly was. But yet, in order to understand you, when thoughts would come against you and question you, well, you can't live right, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and really you thought God spoke to you on Saturday night, but it really wasn't for you. It was for other people there in the service. Because you know when you got up and went out the door, your battles were still there, your troubles were still there. So see, it really wasn't for you anyway. Do you know how to fight? Now, you imagine, notice what the scripture said. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. Now, go ahead and assert your prerogative. If you are Son of God, then prove it to me. Let me see that you are. Jesus never even addresses the issue as far as being Son of God. You know, you can stand and tell the devil, I'm a Christian, I got the Holy Ghost, I believe the message. And when you get done, spend all day doing that, whenever 7 o'clock comes tonight, he'll still be telling you you're not an unbeliever. And he'll start on you again tomorrow. There's no need in you wasting your breath trying to convince the devil who you are. Just let God convince you of who you are and ignore the devil and his lies. That's exactly right. Now watch Jesus' response. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Now look at this word, live. It is zeo, which is close to zoe. He said, be alive, quick, be among the living, not lifeless, not dead, to have true life worthy of the name, living water having vital power in itself. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every Rhema. Notice, not Logos. Now, are we to live by Logos? Of course we are. But Jesus here emphasizes that a person cannot live a full, overcoming Christian life just by quoting Logos. There are many, many denominational Christians that can quote this Bible and probably quote it better than some of you message folks can. But do they have life? If they don't know Rhema words, they don't have life. Because life is not in the Zoe form. Life is in the Rhema form. Praise be to God. Now this is the Master himself. Surely he would not tell us anything wrong. So man shall not live by bread alone, but by every Rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now where did Jesus get this scripture? How can we be sure it applied to Jesus? Now watch. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee. This is actually Moses talking to the children of Israel. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Now what was it that directed the Lord Jesus to this scripture? Because it would seem as if though it did not apply to his personal trial. We're talking about the children of Israel, I mean, that God fed them manna. But there was a compound meaning that the author of the word, which is the Holy Ghost, knew where to direct the Lord Jesus. Now, you know, we think, well, in our mind, we might use this one or that one, and we use the word, and we think, well, it didn't work. Nothing didn't happen. It's because we're depending on our own ability instead of letting the sword, the Spirit of God, draw the sword from the old, the new, or the Song of Solomon, Proverbs, Psalms, wherever he wants to draw it from. And in our minds, it may not even make any sense at all, but it's not your sword, it's his sword. Praise the Lord. Now, you're the Lord Jesus, even in quoting this. He doesn't even quote it word for word. Oh, my goodness. Some of y'all like to fell out of the seat. You see, again, we come to our intellect. Brother Donnie, shouldn't we try? Absolutely we should try. But God knows most of us do not have perfect recall. It's amazing to me the sword of the Spirit can take that word, and you know what? In our best, we're doing the very best that we know, and the Holy Ghost will pull it right out and cut that devil's head off, and you're just standing there thinking, what in the world? Lord, I've got my ability here. Lord, I've been studying up for quotes on temptation of lust. I'm ready, devil. I'm ready. And the Holy Ghost may lead you and bypass all that great effort that you put forth. Why? He wants to let you know it's Him doing the fighting, not you. It's not your ability. It's not your intellect. It's not your mind. It is the Holy Ghost doing it. Oh my. Notice again in Matthew 4:4, He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema, which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look at this word mouth. It means, of course, the mouth, the natural part of the body. Since thoughts of a man's soul find verbal utterance by his mouth, the heart or soul and the mouth are distinguished the edge of a sword. So out of the mouth, then the mouth is also identified as a sword. So the sword of the Spirit begins to project itself through the sword of your being, which is your mouth. Now it must become quickened first. You see, it's like the Logos and the Rhema in your soul. God spoke your word, your Logos, into existence before the foundation of the world. But that Logos must become a quickened article of God, which only comes by the quickening power of God when you are raised from Logos to Rhema life in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You understand? Now it's the same way. You are right here in this Bible. The Bible is the Logos. And what does the Spirit do? It quickens that Logos, transforms it into Rhema life, and then it becomes the very weapon that's needed to defeat the devil. You are a Logos thought attribute of God. It's in the genes, of course, the genotype and the phenotype in the way that the natural DNA is made up. And it's the same way spiritual. We know that science is now producing what they call a gene therapy. And that is to be able to study, to go into people's chromosomes and the DNA, and all of that to be able to treat diseases from within. And they begin to inject different things into the DNA and to be able to affect the gene therapy. Well, let me tell you something. God was the first one to come up with gene therapy. It's called predestination. Predestination is gene therapy. God, election is God's gene therapy. Thank you, Lord. Notice this again in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth. What a sharp, two-edged sword. Y'all agree that's Jesus? Yes, power of the word come out of his mouth. Yes, amen. Can you grasp and comprehend when the sword speaks out of you? You are reflected in that image. Amen. That a sharp sword goes out of your mouth. And what does it do? Defeats your enemy. Now we see him here in his visible appearance of conquering king. We see him on in the book of Revelation when he will come and the sword will come out of his mouth and destroy his enemy. It's the parallel of king and queen. She's given her position by divine authority of God as he will defeat the enemy by the sword of his mouth. So you in this Laodicean age defeat the enemy by the sword of your mouth. Well, you say that's far out. It ain't far out. Whenever we get into an argument or a disagreement and we say hard, sharp, cutting words to one another, what are we doing? Using a sword. We don't intend for those words to be easy and soft and gentle. We will use harsh words. Come on, don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. And we will use words that are cutting and sometimes make our husband or wife or friend or whatever more, we'll make them cry. Why? Because the sharp words out of our mouth, we intended for them to be sharp and wound their spirit and cut them. Well, if we can do that as stinking, rotten human beings, what about a Holy Ghost-filled son or daughter of God? Oh, praise the Lord. Now watch this, the Rhema word of God. John sees this image of the Lord Jesus. Of course, this is in his deified form and the glory of God's revealed in the sevenfold persons of the Lord Jesus. And when John sees this, he sees this powerful image of the resurrected Lord. And remember, he lived with the Lord Jesus for many years, seeing him on the earth as a man. But now he sees him entering back into the Father's glory. No wonder John said that I fell as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me and said, I am he that was dead. And hold, I'm alive forevermore. And John comes to himself, but he sees this image of the glory of God. And you imagine as John sees this image, and out of this voice comes the thundering powers of God. And John hears and feels the resonance of those words as if it were a sword going to his very soul, piercing to his very image. Oh my. Revelation 2:16, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So what's Jesus going to use? Words. What's he use against the Laodicean age? Words. Jesus ain't coming with a literal sword and going to cut people's heads off, but he uses the word. What do you use in this age? A prophet with the sword of the Lord. The third pull, a sword of the word to come out of his mouth. And what did he do? It severs you from the Baptist church. It severs you from the Pentecostal church. And it's going to sever you from yourself. So it is the sword out of his mouth. Why do we need preachers for in the age that we're still living? Because we still need to hear those rhema words from God, which are still swords out of his mouth. But does God want preachers only speaking his words? No. He wants you as an individual soldier, taking the word of God, taking your shield of faith, having the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, and letting the Holy Ghost take that sword and use that word and let God speak the words out of your mouth that will back that sickness up in your life or that besetting sin in your life when it's not you doing it. It ain't me doing it. It's God doing it. I hope this don't bother you. But there's times when I prayed for you folks. And I prayed the best I knew. And I quoted the Logos. And according to your face, you might walk away better and you might not. But there's other times I prayed for you. And I felt something from down deep within me begin to rebuke that thing was a hold of you or whatever more. And I knew you was going to be better. Why? It was a rhema word from God. It wasn't me, Brother Terry. You know what I'm talking about. You preachers know what I'm talking about. Not only preachers, but you believers as well. Because it's like something from within you may take the very same phrase that you've been using all night long. And it says it itself. Oh my. Notice again in Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Amen. So what's going to go out of yours? Hey look friends, I don't want cupcakes going out of my mouth. I don't want nice pleasantries going to the devil in this compromising age. Well, we're just, everybody's going to heaven. We're all going to heaven. No, we ain't. I want a sword to go out of my mouth. That's exactly right. I want the Holy Ghost to be able to sever, oh my, and to be able to let a powerful sword, oh praise be to God. Now with the rhema word, he smites the nations. Notice again in Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now I'm sure you noticed it already. I've mentioned it to you before several years ago when we dealt with this in depth. But there is absolutely no armor whatsoever on your back. You have no shield, you have no piece of armor, no metal or on your back, nothing on the back of your legs, that's because you are to never run from the devil. And if God never gave you no armament for your back, he felt like all you needed on your front was enough to not only meet the devil, but defeat him. Praise God. If God wanted me to run, he would include a surrender flag in my pack. If God wanted me to run, he would have clothed me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. On my back, I would look like a knight in shining armor. But I'm only a half a knight, because the other half is dead. So when I meet the devil, how do I meet him? Head on. Every time. The same way every time. Never turn my back on him. Why? I don't have to. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm running from the devil. I'm running from the devil. Then you're already in a mess, because you ain't got nothing on your back to protect you at all. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now watch this. Oh, my, I love the way Brother Bram deals with this. And he says, brother, footprints is possession. Ministering brethren, don't be afraid to print footprints where God has told you to go. Amen. It's possession. Every inch of ground you'll cover, brother, to make footprints, you'll fight your way through. But take the sword of the Spirit, brother, and move right on. But you see, this is the amazing thing. We don't use the sword of the Spirit. We don't do it like we do the helmet. We can put the shield on, but we actually don't have the control of the sword, because it says the sword of the Spirit. It's not yours. Now listen to me carefully. You don't actually have it all the time. Now you have access to it all the time whenever he gives it, but you don't pack it around all the time where you can draw it at will. Oh, why? He's in control. Notice again, he said the gospel preacher, when he sees that sin has caught his church and caught the people, he takes the blessed old gospel, the sword of the Spirit, and he chops it and chops it until he cuts out sin from his church, if he's a true servant of God. Now listen to me carefully. There is no scripture or no quotes that mentions the word pornography. But the rhema word of God to an anointed man of God can blast that thing. Even though it's not mentioned, the word itself mentioned scripturally or in the message. Come on. Well, hallelujah. Facebook ain't mentioned in the Bible. Boy, I wish it was sometimes. Listen to me. It don't have to be. There are things today that are sin and that are wrong, and God can still deal with it. How? Rhema words through anointed servants of God. Well, I want a scripture. I want this. Listen, friend, when the Holy Ghost is speaking, we better listen. Hallelujah. And you see, a real believer does. This is the thing that's going to separate the real believer. Many of us have thought it's reading the Logos, understanding the Logos. It's dividing the Logos. Man shall live by bread alone, but by every rhema. Only the elect can receive the rhema words from God. The Logos folks want page, paragraph, you know, font number, what style was it printed, what day was it said, was it in Jeffersonville or was it in Des Moines, Iowa, where was it that it was said, that's a Logos Christian, but a real rhema believer, they have rhema life. So they can sit right there and they hear God speak directly to them. They hear God. God might as well just have wrote it on a card and put their name on it, because they hear God speaking to them and they will correct their life. Now a Logos person will argue and debate. I want to quote for that. I want a scripture for that. I want a scripture where it says it's wrong to look at pornography. I want a quote where the Bible said this and that and the other. And they argue and fuss and go on straight into tribulation period. But a rhema Christian, they sit there and they hear that word. Oh,
strong mind, the Spirit of God anoints a man of God, and he begins to deal with things, and he's wondering himself, what in the world am I doing? What in the world am I saying this for? And a ram, a son or daughter of God, said, another said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I needed that. Oh, Lord, I thank you, I needed that. I needed that, Lord. Why? By every ram that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Oh my. So you see, sometimes a preacher has to come to the pulpit, and I mean he has to clean house. And he don't exempt the pulpit neither. He don't exempt himself or his family. Or the deacons or the trustees or anybody else. He just lets it rip. Why? It's the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit takes it. He takes off fingers, toes, noses, ears, whatever more. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now that's a real true man of God. He himself pondering, wondering about it tomorrow and the next day. He'll fight all kinds of battles because he had to say it and dealing with it and dealing with why. Because he don't understand why he was having to say it. But yet the Spirit of God anointing him. So I got a text today from a brother in Alabama. And he said, you mentioned something a couple of services ago right as you started out. And he told me what I'd said. He said, you probably didn't even know why you said it. He said, but those words have changed my life. I didn't even remember even what I said. He said, it's so affected me. Well, you realize, friends, what God does to us? You realize what God does if we can just get ourselves out of the way? But we say, well, I've got to say this, and I've got to say it a certain way, and I've got to fight the devil this way. We need to be little children. We need to be little children that'll be submissive and let the Holy Ghost draw that sword and let the Almighty talk out of our lips. I don't know about you. I do too much talking. Some of y'all consider yourself a heavyweight boxing champion. Come on, Deborah. Come on, Deborah. And about one punch, you're like, I've had to walk out of the ring many a time with a bloodied nose and a black eye and a big lip. And I ain't the only one I can see besides some of y'all's lips. Y'all had the same thing done. Why? Because God's mean? Because my arrogance and pride. And yours as well. My, my. Brother Barron says, have a promise in the book. Everything God promises yours. But he ain't going to sweep out the house and say, go take it. He said, I give you Palestine, but they had to fight every inch of the road. That's right. Every inch. Every time God makes a promise, you'll fight every inch. Every inch? You mean we don't gain it a mile at a time? An inch? You got to be kidding me. An inch? An inch must get. I mean a yard, a mile, a half a mile, 2 feet, an inch? So if you're sick and you need healing, you'll regain it an inch at a time. Peace with God. And that's why folks give up. Well, it ain't worth it. It is worth it if you want it bad enough. Oh my. You'll fight every inch of the road. Just take the sword of the Spirit and the Word and cut every devil. Cut every devil and unbelief away from you. Don't you like cutting devils? Man alive, I love taking the Holy Ghost giving you that, something just slicing his guts out and let him spill out on the ground. I know that sounds gory to you, but let me say it in the spiritual sense. When you become to that spot that the Spirit of God's speaking it out of you, it's as if though you've killed devils all around you and they're laying there. Oh my. Again, he says, look here, take the helmet of salvation and the sword, sword of the Spirit. Again, he says, sword of the Spirit. What's the Spirit that comes in through your mind and enters into you? And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. What does the Spirit fight with? What does the Holy Spirit fight with? Sensations? Feeling? The Word. Glory. Glory. But what do we fight with? Logos. Sensations, emotions. I ain't feeling good. I ain't feeling like I'm saved. Brother Donnie, I ain't felt God in all how. I don't feel like I'm a Christian. I don't feel good. I just feel so down. And that's what you're fighting with.
The Holy Ghost will never draw your feelings out of the scabbard and defeat the devil. How many loves feelings? How many knows feelings will deceive you? How many knows your feelings can lie? I don't feel like I'm saved sometimes. I don't feel like I'm a preacher most of the time. So what would be your counsel? What would be your counsel to me? I don't feel like I'm a good preacher. Never have. I don't feel like I'm very successful as a preacher. So what should I do? Pick up pop cans? Go into the bakery business? Become a plumber? Carpenter? Keep preaching? You mean you'd honestly tell me to keep preaching, yet when you go through that, you quit coming to church? Does that mean you're a hypocrite? You're telling me to do something you don't do yourself? Oh, sweet Jesus. My, my. Notice this. Oh. He says the Spirit of God walks right up to the devil and said, "It is written." And the devil gives away. But the dog, I didn't feel like it. There you go. But I didn't feel no better. I didn't feel nothing come over me. There you go. You're still trying to fight with them feelings. Gonna go on. You see, a rhema word from God in your life is the sword of the Spirit. So you're going through something and the Spirit of God draws it out. And says, "In my name they'll cast out devils," or "My God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory." Whatever it is that he drops in your heart. And if you can get out of the way and let the Almighty say it. Somebody tell me to go on. All right, remember you asked for this. Brother Ben says every word in the Bible is God's thoughts laid in seed form that if received into the human being and spoke by the same thought that materialized the Bible, brings the thing to pass. Now every word in the Bible is seed form. Now they remember, that's you. That's what you are. Your gene, your seed, your promise of God, that God spoke your life, your word into existence before the foundation of the world. It was you in seed form. Now you were not an angel there. You were not in theophany there. You were a seed in the mind and the thought of God. Then he spoke you into existence. But you were laying there lifeless like Adam, standing there with his toes down in the ground like the roots of a tree, until God breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. Praise the Lord. So the word then lays in the Bible in seed form. Now, does it really change it if we take it from here and we move it and we restore it here? Now, think. All you're doing is moving it from here into the hard drive of your head. Now, whenever people got to where that they could take the words off of a book like this and put it into digital format and then be able to put it on a computer, on your iPhone, your Droid, whatever you have, and does that change the iPhone into a son of God? All it simply does is move the storage place from one place to another. Now, if we move it now out of the pages of the Bible and we simply move it over to here, and we restore it off of the pages of the Bible, off of our hard drive, and we store it in our minds. Does it make us automatic sons and daughters of God? Does it make us powerhouse Christians? All we've done is move it from one hard drive to a hard head. I mean, oh, that was good. Thank you, Jesus. So we moved it from one storage place to another. Now it's good to have it stored. But when the Spirit sees you in need and you don't know what to do and you're frustrated, "Oh God, please help me, God. Please help me, God. You see this thing I'm facing, Lord. I don't know what to do. Help me. Help me, Lord. I'm waiting on you. I don't have the ability. I've got this in my hard drive. I've got it stored up here, Lord. I've tried to read the Word. I've been listening to tapes. I've been reading my Bible. That's what I think I should do, but I don't know which one of these things to use, Lord. Help me. And the Spirit comes by and draws out your gladius. Amen. It may not be 40 pages long. It may not be but two or three words. But all of a sudden, something out of your innermost being speaks that word, and you speak your deliverance. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You speak the salvation of your children. Notice this. Brother Man said that. Spoke by the same thought that materialized the Bible and brings the thing to pass. You see what I mean? Notice this year, friends. 1954. Here we are in 2016, almost 2017. Over 50 years ago. I want to be one of these believers that this quote is manifest in my life. Listen to this. Lord Jesus. You see what I mean? How powerful could the church be? The Bible said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he now. Your thoughts, if they become expression, like God said, let there be a world. Before it could be a word, it had to be a thought. So God, in the creation, created the world by his thought first. Then spoke it. And the thought expressed became material. See what I mean? Now if that same spirit that said, let there be light, and there was light, said, let there be trees, and there was trees, if that same mind that was in Christ be in you, how much could it say? It's not you. How much could it say, let there be no cancer, and it would be gone. Amen. You see, it's a great parallel. Brother Branham, I read it the other day. I think it's 1954, maybe something like that. Brother Branham says, I am God's voice to you. Amen. Then he says, I felt a little bit of resentment at that. And then he says it again. Now he says, he said it that time. Now if you listen to the tape, it don't sound no different. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. He said the angel come down and said it. But yet he used the same vocal expression, the same nouns, pronouns, consonants, whatever more, in the sentence, the same human vocal cords that had come across. Oh, Lord, children. But the voice was from within. The voice was not just Brother Branham knew his place. Was he right in what he said? He was. He was God's voice to this age. Praise the Lord. It's the same with you and I. We may say something, oh, praise God. It's like you shoot the gun. And the bullet rolls out of the barrel and goes. And the deer is waving, adios, amigos. You didn't have enough powder in there. I'm going to be a little bit tight with this, so I'm going to put just a little bit of powder in the musket. So you put just a little bit, and boy, there's a monster watching there. Pow! Boing. How many times have we aimed our weapons at the devil and went, boom? Your brothers ever played with them little pop guns when you was young? Oh, Lord, some of these younger men are looking at me thinking, what century did he live in? Well, come on, some of you old guys like me, you know what I'm talking about. It's where they had a little string, a little cork on the end of it, and you pop that little old thing. Well, it wasn't going to hurt nobody because it was tied up. And I'm afraid that's the way we've done a lot of times with the Word. Oh, my, we're loaded down. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. But we got a string on the end of the bullet. And we're fighting. Pew, 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 pew. I don't mind telling you, I got hurt by them things sometimes. Because they wouldn't go out there and hit nobody, but they'd pop back and hit you. Listen. listen to this. He said, if the same one, the same mind that was in Christ be in you, how much could it say? Let there be no cancer and it would be gone. The blind eyes be opened and it would be so. See? It's your thought. But yet, you're not the originator of that thought. How can it be yours? Same way the seed was Mary's. Only by gift. God gave her the seed. She didn't produce it. You see, if this ever strikes us by the rhema of God, it's actually, it must be a thought. We can't say it without it being a thought. But it isn't our thought, because our thought's been said it for 47 days in a row. And we've said it over and over again. But what is it? It's the origination of the source of the thought. If it comes from our mind, from our intellect, and we repeat it over and over again. As we looked at it last week, whenever Jesus had come to Peter, and he said, Peter, go out and let out the net for a great catch. He said, Lord, we fished all night long. So what Jesus having to do? The exact same thing they'd done all night long. But this time it's Jesus saying instead of Peter. No doubt Peter said, all right, boys, let's do this, and let's do that, and let's do this. This time it wasn't Peter saying it, Jesus said it. And you may say, oh God, I speak your word, Lord. I claim my children. Lord God, I speak to this sickness. Satan, get out of my body in the name of Jesus. And you get sick on a horse. I'll tell you what, you devil, you get out of my way. But all of a sudden something else says, lay your hands on yourself. You ever done that? I have. Speak to that sickness. Speak to that besetting sin. Oh, glory. Note a minute. Notice he said, wait a minute. He said, have faith in God. For verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall say to this mountain, be moved, pick up and cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart. But believe what you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever things thou sayest. Now remember, Brother Branham is quoting this, but he still don't understand it yet fully. Because this is the scripture that's going to come clearer to him in the speaking of the squirrels. Right? He says, you'll have whatsoever you have. You will have it. Not me. You shall have it. What power has been given to the church? Amen. Now you can express it by mental conception. What is that? Logos. The word says, the word says, the word says, the Bible says, the prophet of God said this, the prophet of God said that. Should we study? Absolutely. But that's us mentally. You can express it by mental conception, but if it becomes a revelation, a real revelation of God, that you can see it before it happened and express it in word form, that word takes a hold and becomes material, a thought expressed. Children, I don't want you to think I'm nuts or crazy, but can you imagine if you've got a need in your body or your home or your life tonight, and all of a sudden the Almighty God, the same one who said, let there be light, and let there be this, and let there be that, and you've got a need, we'll say, for healing in your body. And that same inspiration strikes in you, and it strikes a thought in your mind. And you begin to think, I'm already healed. This cancer is nothing. These are lying vanities. They're nothing but symptoms. I'm healed. And then he anoints you to say it. It don't make a difference what the doctor says. It don't make a difference how many times you go to the ER after that. That has nothing to do with it. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Notice what he says. That word takes a hold and becomes material. A thought expressed. Oh my, how God. See, if your heart and your mind is so infilled with God's Spirit unto your thoughts become. Do you understand what the rapture is? The body change is simply your thought becoming his thought of the rapture. But he wants it to happen in us on a constant basis before we're ever raptured. Whenever you're bound by cigarettes or bound by alcohol or bound by some besetting sin in your life, he wants to be able to project his thought into you and let the pre-rapture power begin to affect your life before the day of the resurrection ever happens. Whenever his thought becomes yours, his thought is you don't have to be bound by that. And then that thought becomes your thought. I don't have to be bound by that. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to have this cancer. I don't have to have this. I don't have to have it. Will Logos do it? It will not. It will buy us some time. It will give us some peace. It'll ward off the enemy for a little bit, but he'll come right back because you don't hear the hidden voice behind yours. He still hears the tremor in your voice. He hears the shaking and he hears the bumping of your knees. But when Father speaks, the knee bumpings change from you to the devil. Children, I hope you can understand it. When a rhema word drops from God, it ain't you saying it no more. It's gone. Lord Jesus. Until your thoughts become his thoughts. Amen. There you are. When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being. Oh my, what kind of people should we be? It is the very Holy Spirit has you so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thoughts. Preachers who preach under inspiration, maybe they're a little bit more used to this and experience it more than the laity will. Because when you're preaching and you're under inspiration of God and the thoughts are coming to you so fast, I know you find it hard to believe, but it's fast and long and strong as preachers preach. At the same time, the devil can be talking to them. People don't love you. People ain't ready to hear that. And then you say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. It's like three or four avenues of thoughts are coming through your mind at the same time. It's a wonder a preacher can say anything straight. But all that's going on. But what is it? He so yields himself and God anoints the gift. And the gift anointed severs him from an element of his own mind. And he'll go ahead and say what the Spirit has him to say and deal with the consequences later. Right. Why? Because you're so inspired to do it and the Spirit of God moves on you. Oh my, but God don't want to limit this to preachers. Listen to this. You don't use your own mind, you don't use your own spirit, but the Holy Spirit has you so built unto your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you. What kind of church would we be? Now, is this just a really nice quote? Or is there a message, folks, around this world that's going to fulfill this before we leave? We argue and debate and fuss and fight over this and that and the other. Why don't we focus on some things that'll really change our lives and really help folks around us instead of debating over this theology and that theology? Gonna go a bit farther. When the human element goes out and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy, where you empty yourself, amen, then we'll be the church in its power, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We'll walk in his steps, in his power, in his thoughts, in his being, in his moving. You see what I mean? Then your thoughts will become words, and words will become material. Do you believe it? How many wants it? Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. That's when the church is in its power. I believe it's on the road. Notice he knew it wasn't there. Look where he's preaching this at. Branham Tabernacle. This is actually the India trip. He just seen some absolute wonderful, outstanding miracles in India, but he didn't just want it in his ministry. Come on, church. The book of Acts is not God in one man. The book of Acts is God in a church. The book of Acts Acts is not one man preaching, all the rest of the preachers saying down, sitting down, pushing play. Glory to God. The book of Acts is just not all the preachers having the power of God and the laity having nothing. That's not the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a laity filled with the Holy Ghost being led of the Spirit of God. Amen. I believe it's on the word when the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit. Mankind so away from themselves that they don't see themselves. My thoughts but to serve God, and their thoughts move on. They refuse the things of the world. They just move in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Amen. Move in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So fulfill the law of Christ. Then the love of Christ in the human heart moving in the Holy Ghost. That great wonderful church will go forth and power and deity. Because deity will be revealed in human beings by the Holy Spirit bringing to pass the thought of their mind. This can only happen to a people of character. Not a power hungry people who desire to say, well, I've done this and I've done that and I've done something else. Not a bunch of braggarts and a bunch of empty people. Let me close with this. Pergamene church age, when a spirit born, spirit filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips. Well, that is the same as deity speaking. But is this our speciality in the message? To speak like deity? Or are we more concerned about speaking like theologians? Praise the Lord, saints. Notice this. Well, that is the same as deity speaking. Listen what it will do. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. To me, there can be no higher goal in God than that quote. I don't care how much you preach, how much you know, how deep you are, whatever more. To me, Brother Tom, there couldn't be a greater thing for me to achieve in my life. That deity will speak out of me and every mountain and my life will get out of the way. Amen. And Satan will not be able to stand before me. Now, you know what he'll do? He'll come and go away and come and go away. But he won't be able to take you for long. He can't handle you. Why? It's God talking. Do you realize if he would have used the living word of God, Satan would have been powerless before her. Satan would have been powerless if she would have stayed with that word. But when she began to mix reasoning with that word, he weakened her down and overcome her. It's the same way with you and I when we weaken down on our stand of the word of God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. After he describes the armor, and we'll look at this in the morning, Lord willing, Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you've got the helmet, you've got the sword, you've got the shield, the whole thing is there. And that still ain't enough. You got to pray all the time. Oh, Brother Donnie, I can't be down on my knees in the closet. He never said that. For you saints that have not learned the value of praying when you're in Walmart, you need to. Your sisters can pray when you're making ham and eggs for breakfast. You can pray, you brothers, when you're doing your painting job or contractor work. You can go with a prayer on your heart. Praying always. Praise the Lord. Oh, but Brother Donnie, we got the sword of spirits. That's right. But remember, when the children of Israel was fighting Amalek, there was two great components that brought victory. Moses was on the mountain praying. And Joshua was in the valley with the sword. Praise the Lord. We want to be in the valley with a sword. You got to have somebody praying up there, brother. And it's the same in your life. Don't just use the sword, but you've got to be able to pray. Pray and use your sword. There ain't a devil in hell can stand against you. Children, I know most of us do not believe this. We say amen to it. Oh, that's right. That's the truth. That's the truth. If we really believe what we have heard here tonight, that Satan is powerless before you, once this is in your life, Satan cannot stand before you any more than he could the Lord Jesus. Why? It's the exact same thing in bride form. He come to the Lord Jesus and he hit him away. Come back again, hit him away. Then the scripture says he left him. Why? He can't stand it. If the devil's around you every day, 24/7, you need to speed up and boot him out. You need to pick up your walk with God. Well, the devil told me at 8:05 and the devil told me at 8:07. What do you mean letting him hang around for 2 minutes? But at 9:10 he told me this, and 9:25 he told me that. You ought to run him off a long time ago. He's robbing some of your dance time. He's robbing some of your joy time. He's robbing some of your fellowship time. According to what I've read to you tonight, when a person takes this word, Satan cannot stand before you. You see, God made all types of creatures on the earth. All types of four-footed beasts. All types of little creatures that was down on their all fours. He gives some the ability to stand. A bear can stand and look around and watch. But he won't stand long. He has to go down. The horse can rear up. But he can't walk reared up. He has to get back down. But you see, the very reflection of perfection was in the being that God made, which stood upright. We don't walk on all fours. Well, you might do it with your grandkids or your babies. But God made man to stand up. It showed his preeminence over creation. God never made you to bow to the devil. God never made you to bow to fear. God made you to stand up. And if there's going to be any bowing going on, you're going to hang around, devil. You're going to do it. I'm warning you, you're going to be cut up bad, devil. Because God made me to stand upright. I'm in his restored image. I ain't no cow. I ain't no dog. I ain't no horse. Amen. I wasn't made to get down on my knees and crawl like an animal. God made man to stand up. The image has been restored. We might have crawled in the days of Luther and stood up a little bit days of Wesley, but jumped around in the days of Pentecost. But the restored image is back. Man is standing up on his feet again. Hallelujah. And God has breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he has become a living soul. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, forgive us tonight. Forgive us for thinking we know how to fight. Forgive us, Lord, for trying to fight this war with our intellect. That's what Satan done to Eve whenever he began to pull her intellect. And we know when you made man in your own image, it wasn't just so much that his eyes were the size of your eyes or his hands the size of your hands, because we know you're a spirit. But it was a spiritual image. He had the ability to think and reason and speak. Now the rest of the animals had that. So this image was tapped into by the serpent, being anointed by the devil, and Eve now began to use her intellect, her reasoning powers, this image of God which had been given to them, to think and reason and deduct and add and subtract thoughts and perceive truth and values. Lord, if she would have used your spirit, your sword, we wouldn't be where we are today.
But yet, you knew it would come. But Father, we believe that there's a people on the earth that's standing up again. We crawled around in shame and humility. But you never made us to be on our all fours like an animal. When we was out there in the world, slothering around like hogs and pigs in the pig lot of sin. But Lord Jesus, the word has come in the last day. Not only to restore the image to man, but to bring man up off of his all fours. Because you never crawled around like a dog. You stood erect. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Father. We know it was as Ezekiel. As I was studying this evening, Lord, about the breath. That great breath of God. Now that when you breathe into Adam's nostrils. The prophet said when you breathe into Adam's nostrils, he shook. He shook. And come to himself. Himself. What was himself? Himself was not just a mortal being standing there. But himself was a spirit man. Praise God. He come up off of the earth and stood up. Then he was in the image of God. For we know once he fell, he got down behind the bushes. And he hunkered down. It was a sign of a fallen man who had hunkered down. One reason why we kneel to the altar. Lord, when many folks come and they just feel like standing up, they just can't really come through to you. They need to get down. Why? Sign of a broken individual. Lord Jesus, but once they're delivered, many, many, many times we've seen them. They'll get up off of their knees and stand up on their feet and raise their hands and go give praise and glory to God. Hallelujah! They're brought up out of that image of the animal. They have been resurrected from the animal life to the kingdom life. Oh, Jesus, we worship you tonight, Lord. Father, this is why we stand tonight, as it were, Lord, even physically. This is why we want to raise our hands. We don't want to be like an animal that sits down on a pew and crosses our arms and folds and sits there. Lord, we're restored. So we want to stand up on our feet. We want to raise our hands. A dog can't do it. A cow can't do it. A horse can't do it. But a restored human being can. We can lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Why, the image has come back to us. Thank you, Lord. We worship you tonight, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, may these not just be good scriptures and good quotes. May there be somebody here tonight, Lord, if it ain't but one, two, or three, or half a dozen. May there be somebody, Lord, that'll say, God, I want that to be me. I want that to be me. And Lord, that will be at your discretion. May we understand that is not us operating it. Oh, we can operate the Logos from memory, and we do it all the time. But this is not the sword of the mind, but the sword of the Spirit. Use it, Lord. How many times have I seen you when I was giving counsel to people, or people oppose you over something, and me praying, oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. And all of a sudden, something come from deep within me. I knew not from where. And it gave an answer that absolutely astounded me. It was you using the sword. Praise God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Oh, breath of God, come by this way tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. May you breathe upon us tonight. Ruach Elohim. Breathe upon us the breath of life. Lord Jesus, that we can be raised from our sins. Raised from our backslidings and our shortcomings. Breathe upon us, living God. Praise God. Praise God. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Can we just give him a little love now, a little worship, a little praise? Aren't you glad you've been raised from that old image of an animal? Living like the devil and talking like the devil and acting like the devil. But here you stand tonight as sons and daughters of God. The image has been restored, and here you stand physically. Not only physically, but you're standing in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. With our hands raised up to the King. In the great galleries, we walk down and we are held in awe as he pulls back the veil with the mysteries of himself. Praise be to God.
We bless your name, mighty God. We worship you tonight, Lord, for you are worthy. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you once again for giving us a tour down the gallery of your presence. Pulling back the work of art, as it were, from the veil of Rhema. Helping us to see what's at our disposal, O God. May we understand you cannot use it as long as there's a conflict between who uses it. We're trying to grab it and we're trying to be this and trying to be that. Lord, help us to realize it's when we get out of the way, when we surrender. Oh, grant it, Lord. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, can you do that? The more I surrender. How many wants to just surrender to him tonight? I ain't talking about being saved now. I'm talking about you Christians. You Christians surrendering what you think you know about this and think you know about that. And surrendering to let the sword of the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, be able to take that word and defeat the devil right in front of you. I don't care what you're facing tonight, how big it is, how difficult it seems. Let the Holy Ghost take the sword. Let the Holy Ghost take the word. Oh, said, Brother Donnie, you pray for me. I will. I will. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. I found out a long time ago. Sometimes God don't want me to speak you a victory. I can pray for you and pray for your strength and your faith. But sometimes God wants you to say it yourself. God don't want me saying it. God don't want Brother Terry saying it. God wants you saying it. If he can so anoint your thoughts, this thing is going to leave my body. Let's worship him together, shall we? Now look, friends, don't try to work yourself up into something and make something happen. No, that's not it. It's not us making it. It's just letting go. Letting the Spirit of God do as he pleases. Let him speak through us. If not, we'll just make failures and just make a mess out of it. But he don't ever make messes. He's perfect every time. Let's sing together. Hey, let's worship him now just a little, can we? Oh, don't you love him with all your heart?
The more that I surrender,
oh yes, Lord,
the lighter my load.
The more that I release my cares,
the more you take control.
Surrender.
The
myself, the more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
Hallelujah. 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 How many believes his word? I'm sure most of you know that our brother Warren has had some sickness and a tumor situation that they found up in his brain. And he's going on Monday morning to have a biopsy done. You know what? I believe that the same God who said, let there be light, let there be moon, let there be stars, I believe he can speak to that tonight, don't you? Doctors are uncertain whether it's benign or whatever it is, but our God's bigger. It don't matter what stage it's gone to. Our God is bigger. We want to pray for our brother, not only for him tonight, but for his wife and his children, that God will just strengthen him and be with him during this time. Also, Brother Don Cooper had surgery, and he's not been able to keep anything down in his body, and he's been vomiting every day since he had his surgery. And he really, really needs a touch from the Lord. They did a procedure or something today to help him, and he is doing better today. But we just want to ask God to move for our brother as well. Anybody else got a request in your heart? You want to hold it up before the Lord? Just raise your hand, signifying it. Look at me now. The Roman army, one reason that they say they were so invincible, they were so disciplined. They used their shields called the door. Some of their shields were 2 foot wide, 6 foot long. They would use that shield to climb on top of one another. Whenever they would throw their shields in front of them, they were almost impenetrable. But one Roman soldier was very vulnerable. And you may be a child of God, a Christian full of the Holy Ghost, but you're not ordained to take on this whole army by yourself. We need one another. I admire your door. I admire your helmet. I admire your shield. But you still need me to guard your back. I need you. We need one another. As an army, we are invincible. As an individual, you're not. Come on now. We need one another. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we want to bring these needs, Lord, spoken and unspoken, before you. Lord Jesus, you see this need of our brother Warren, Father, and what the doctors have found by their tests. And Lord, him going for a biopsy on Monday. But Heavenly Father, we're asking you tonight for your grace and your mercy to our brother. Lord, really, in one sense of the word, it doesn't matter what the doctors say and what their test results say as far as what our faith says. We're looking to you tonight, Father. We're asking you to move on behalf of our brother. I pray for his wife. I pray for his children, that you'd be with them and strengthen them, Lord. You had a reason for moving upon Brother Branham and having him to the first book that he would write, Do You Fear Cancer? The angel of the Lord could have mentioned many, many things in his prayer, but he said, if you'll be sincere when you pray, even cancer won't stand in your way. The angel could have mentioned all kinds of diseases, and cancer wasn't near as prevalent then as it is today. So, Lord, we know you're mindful. Even if your saints have cancer, you're mindful. But, Lord, we're praying for our brother, and we're praying, dear God, that you'd move on their behalf. Lord, we know of different ones who've had similar things, even to my mother-in-law, Lord, and they had to remove it, and it was benign. And we're just believing you, Father, for your grace to our brother. We also call Brother Don's name to you tonight, Lord, that you'd move for our brother. Heavenly Father, you see what's happened in his surgery and unable to eat and keep food down, Lord, for almost a week now he hasn't eaten. May the Spirit of God, I pray, go to our brother. You see, Lord, what the doctors have said, that apparently a part of his bowel has went to sleep. But you are the resurrection and the life. May the voice of God speak to that part of his bowel tonight. may it wake up. The anesthesia has put it to sleep, but may the voice of the resurrection wake it up tonight, Lord. Bring our brother out of this situation, Father. Lord, there was hundreds of hands that was raised up, dear God, and they wasn't able to mention their need, maybe. But Father, maybe just as desperate, Lord, and just as pressing in their heart. We bring it all before the throne of grace tonight. Whether it's big or small or medium sized, we bring them all to you, Lord, knowing that you're mindful. Oh, God, take your words. Speak it through our lips, O Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Speak your words, Father, that the gates will roll back, Father God, and we will possess the gate of our enemy. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Bring healing, deliverance, baptism of the Holy Ghost, whatever your saints need tonight, Lord. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask it. Praise be to God. And the saints said,
amen.
Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Heavenly Father. Lord, we're going to go ahead and worship you in advance because we believe you're going to move. We're going to be like Abraham. We're going to water the seed with praise. Before we see one thing happen, we're going to praise you tonight, Lord, for answering our prayers. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Father. Amen. Hey, let's sing a little something. Let's just worship a little before we go. Can we?
Yes, sir.
You got a few more minutes to give to the Lord before we go. Oh, it's been good to me in the house of God, isn't it? It's an honor to be gathered with His saints in His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, victory
thank
is
you, Lord
mine.
Jesus.
Victory is mine.
Oh, yes.
Victory today is mine.
Get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Healing is mine.
Praise God.
Healing is mine.
Yes, Lord.
Healing today is mine.
Oh, I told that sickness, you might as well get behind. Healing today is mine.
Get thee behind. The Holy Ghost today is mine. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, 'cause victory today. Joy is mine, joy is mine.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You brought me. Oh, you brought me a mighty long way.
Mighty long way.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I want to thank you, Jesus. You did. Yes, you did. Then you breathed upon my world. You give me life by the spoken word. Lord, you brought me. Oh, you brought me a mighty long way. I want to thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You brought me.
Yes.
You brought me
a mighty long way
from eternity down through time back to eternity again. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord.
He's brought me so far. I was out there in the world and drinking. Oh, you've only got part of the journey. When I sing this, I think much farther back than when I was a sinner. You brought me a mighty long way. I go plumb back to the mind of God. You brought me a mighty long way. Not just when I was a sinner. Oh, that's part of the journey too. But in reality, I'm only 60 years old. So really, that ain't that long. I only lived for the devil about 12 years. And the rest of my life I've given to God. So that ain't really that long. But he brought me a mighty long way. From the mind of God into the Logos, into the spoken word. Praise God. Breathe the breath of life into me. Brought me up through the church ages. He's brought me a mighty long way. I said he's brought me a mighty long way. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. I bless your name, Lord Jesus. Hey, let's sing a little something else. I don't think we ought to leave right now. My, it's just a few minutes after 9. Folks down at the bar just getting cranked on their second or third round, I suppose. However, all that works. If they can do that for a headache in the morning, what ought we to do for the kingdom of God? Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord.
He's God in the Father. He's God in the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. God all three in one. I know God is God. Oh, God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name. He's God when the lightning flashes. God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven. And He's God down in my soul.
I know God is God.
God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name.
His name.
Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord. Aren't you glad you know your God is the living God? He is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's been a great privilege and an honor to be in your house tonight. Gathered together with your children, your saints, and most of all with you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your principles, Lord, that you've shared with us this very night. Go with us now, Lord, if it be pleasing to you. Bring us back again in the morning. We look again for the table to be spread. How grateful we are that we don't have to come to church and hear something that's been warmed up over and over and over again. Some dead, rotten manna of something of what you used to be. Oh, God, I so thank you. The word, where it is now, Lord, it's tremendous. Oh, God, as I sat studying this evening just before church, I thought I was going to absolutely explode. I just kept thinking, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your word, Lord. Just, we so love it, Father. We appreciate it so much, Lord Jesus. Go with your people now, Lord. Bring strength, healing, and encouragement, all that we have need of, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Praise God. Turn and shake him with somebody's hand. Just tell them you love them. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love you, saints. Oh, we want to spend eternity together. Praise God. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. Think something for us, Harry. I love you. Service tomorrow. Just come expecting once again the Lord to speak to us.
Give myself away.
Yes, Lord.
I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me.